If you ask Christians to sum up shorthand the life and ministry and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will typically refer to the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And that, of course, does capture his incarnation, God becoming man, fully God, fully man, going to the cross, dying for our sins, and then not being resuscitated, but breaking forth through the grave into a new form of glorified life that had never been seen before. But this still misses part of the story, because it misses the glorification or the exaltation part of the story. If you look at the way the scripture describes the work and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in shorthand, perhaps the most succinct form we can find is in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 5, where it talks about, speaking in kind of symbolic language, it talks about a woman up in the sky who gives birth to a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, this woman is a picture of faithful Israel. It's the portion of Israel that were true believers, who truly trusted in and believed in God and followed his word. From faithful Israel has come forth a male child who is to rule all nations. So, of course, that's the incarnation, that's the virgin birth. And this is how it finishes the story. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. That's scriptural shorthand. Birth, ascension. Ascension is the part that we usually live out, because that's the glorification part. We have managed to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his work as a partial victory, bursting forth into new life, achieving forgiveness of sins, atonement of sins, so that our fellowship with God is fully restored. But there's more to the story, and we have kind of lost that as modern evangelicals, the exaltation of Christ to full glory. Now, this story is one that Paul sets out for us in more full form in Philippians chapter 2, one of the most beautiful passages of the New Testament. In fact, this is what was called some of the early Christ hymns. There's various places in the New Testament where the author will go from a normal narrative or a prose type form of communicating with Christians and will suddenly change the structure and the manner of speaking into a form of poetry. And these were the early Christ hymns. These were sung by the Christians. This is what defined them. This is what they rallied around. And that's what he's doing in this beautiful passage. And he talks about, he says, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be clutched. In other words, it's mine and you can't take it. But rather, he made himself of no reputation. Literally, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself further. So we've got the humility of becoming one of us, okay? Entering into a fallen world. The Creator God entering into the creation without ceasing to be the Creator God and becoming one of us. But then he humbles himself further. He becomes obedient to God to the point of death. God says to his son, "Son, this is what you need to do. You need to become one of your brethren who are lost and they're in captivity and there's nothing they can do about it. You need to become one of them and then you need to die. And you need to die on a cross," which was the Roman form of making death as painful, as long, and as humiliating, subject to public scorn as possible. When people were crucified, they would die eventually of asphyxiation because they couldn't get oxygen because they were hanging with their arms outstretched, their feet, they have a nail going through their feet. And to, when you're hanging like that and all your weight's on your arm, to breathe, you have to push yourself up so you can get your diaphragm to expand to breathe. And then you sag back down, and over time, you can't push yourself back up anymore. That's the way it happens. And so you can have a person for several days that's on the cross just there. So you get the picture. And this is what Jesus needed to do. He was obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, for this reason, because of his humility, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. That name is Lord. And that, and the word Lord in the first century was inescapably a practical term in terms of normal life. You see, because there were a lot of gods in the first century. They worshipped all kinds of idols, and that was all good. The more, the merrier. But there was only one Lord. His name was Caesar, and he could take your life. Okay? He ruled the world by the point of a spear. He was Lord. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you see, that inescapably sent tremors through society at that time. That's what got Christians killed, saying that not that Jesus was a god in some sense like the other idols, but saying that Jesus was Lord. That means Jesus determines how life will be. Jesus is the one whose word you will obey. He is the one you will offer. So this idea that Caesar, Lord Caesar, had a Lord, that Lord Caesar answers to somebody, that Lord Caesar needs to change his ways because there's somebody higher, that was a radical thought. This is the name that God the Father gave him, the name of Lord. Why? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, should honor his authority. Those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the story of the humility and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus. This is how we're saved. This is how the world's saved. When God sent his Son into the world, Jesus did not come to introduce another ancient mystery religion, some kind of a mystical experience that we could have. You know, we know what that means today. People are into their own things. That's true for you. It's not true for me. Or it's true for me. It may not be true for you. I have my experience. I help that which helps me get along, helps me feel good about myself, helps me feel good about my life. It helps me manage and to cope. Who knows, a month from now, what's true for me now may not be true for me anymore. I may have a new truth. I may have a new meaning. It's not like that. That's not why Christians died in the arena being eaten by lions. They did not die for a new religious experience. They died because Jesus was raised from the dead and exalted to the right hand of the Father. Because it's true. Not in a true for me, but maybe not for you sense, but in a it's true whether you believe it or not sense. It's true in the sense of the sun rises in the east. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's true. It was true in that sense. And that's why the Christians died. And this life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of bringing a complete revolution into the world in this way, it's not only true for him, that's not only God's method with his Son, it's God's method for us. This is the story. This is how God works. Humility, submitting your hand under the mighty, yourself under the mighty hand of God, trusting in him, not leaning on your own understanding, not being wise in your own eyes, trusting in him to exalt and to bless. That is God's way, not just with his Son, but with every one of us. And that's why Paul, in that beautiful passage, that Christ song in Philippians 2, starts it out by saying this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in Christ we're all sons and daughters. And God deals with us just like he does with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have twice in the New Testament, once in James and once in 1 Peter, where the apostles say to Christians, and they quote the Old Testament here, so this is coming from the Old all the way into the New, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And they quote the Old Testament, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our story too. God resists the proud. God opposes the proud, the self-sufficient, the one who trusts in himself, the one who is wise in his own eyes, the one who leans on their own understanding, pride, preoccupied with self, self-exaltation. God is opposed to that person. But God gives grace, he gives favor to the humble, the one who submit themselves and trust in God. Now, this is not a contrast between power and weakness. It's a contrast between false power and true power. False power is exalting yourself. False power is leaning on your own understanding. False power is being wise in your own eyes because it's weak, because you don't run the world. God runs the world. It's his world. True power is understanding God who is sovereign, God from whom all blessings flow, the God of love, the God of all wisdom, the God who knows far more about your happiness than you do. It's trusting in that one. That is true power, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. That is what we are to do. Now, is there anything more important that you could ever know about yourself or anybody else than whether the God of the universe who controls all things is for them or against them? Is there anything more important that you could know about your own life? Is there anything more important you could know about yourself as to whether God is against you or for you? Well, that's what humility and pride tell you. It's not just two more characteristics like somebody who is tardy or on time. That tells you about somebody who struggles with a particular issue. Pride and humility is not in the same category. It's telling you whether God is for you or whether God is against you. And so Peter says, here's the upshot. Humble yourselves under the mighty hands of God that he may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself under him? What about all the things you're facing? What about all the things you need? He finishes the sentence, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. This is the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know where this story ends. We know this story works. We know this story ends good. This is your story too, following the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.